Waddle and Sylvie are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at T Waddle 87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
No Sox game tonight. It's been postponed. We'll have a doubleheader for you tomorrow against the Royals. Talking a little Cubs earlier this segment as we are on. You may have heard us sign off, but then we were brought back in quickly.
Just when we thought we were out.
Did you make it out of the building?
No, I was in the bathroom. Yeah, my phone started. It was kind of like the Carmen and Yurko situation the other day where I was in the bathroom. We were cross-talking with Tyler and Meller, who will be on till 8 o'clock tonight. It's brought to you by Steinhoffels, four Chicagoland locations, the newest one in Harwood Heights.
Sun's out.
This is the sunniest it's been all day.
They know what they're doing, though, guys. Come on the weather front, at least. They know weather and milkshakes.
I was going to say, how many milkshakes were sold today?
Before the cancellation?
Because that's the move now. You get into the park, I guess you have to go out and get your milkshake to make sure.
Item.
Jimmy from the north side says the game's been postponed due to optional player game participation.
Oh, the jokes. So Shefty was on Get Up today. They had their entire draft crew on the Get Up set today.
It's a big crew.
Yeah. It's Booger.
Mm-hmm.
It's Greeny.
Riddick.
Riddick. And it's Mel.
Mm-hmm.
Am I missing anybody else?
That's a draft day crew right there.
Yeah. And finally, like after we were busting Greeny's balls, like why are you guys continuing to sell that, hey, Caleb Williams may not go one?
And by the way, there's enough drama. Who's going to go 2-3? Are they going to move up for 4? Is this going to be the first time in NFL history where 4 quarterbacks are going to go 1-4? They don't need to manufacture the Bears. What are they going to do at 1?
Right.
Type of drama.
Who's going to get Marvin Harrison Jr.? Like,
yeah, there's plenty of drama.
Who gets Neighbors? Who gets Adunze? Like, all this stuff.
The other thing is, are there any people out there who are consumers of the NFL draft who are like, you know, I know who's going to be picked number one. I'm not going to watch anymore.
Yeah. I'm not going to watch.
Now that I know. Now that Greeny's telling me that the Bears are taking Caleb Williams, I'm out.
No drama. Nah.
So finally, like after we talked to him last Friday or maybe two Fridays ago.
I think we shook him a little bit, too.
I didn't think he didn't think
that he was coming on to be berated.
No, he was even saying that he's hearing some whispers that Caleb may not want to play. We're going, we don't hear those whispers. And so finally, by the end of that conversation, he was like, okay, fine. Caleb Williams and the Bears, it's a lock. So, and all the other NFL insiders are finally saying it too. I think Schrager wrote it in his mock. The Bears have known this for a while. Caleb Williams to the Bears is a lock. And this is Schefter saying it. Schefter, today on Get Up, basically saying it's a lock that Caleb Williams is the number one overall pick.
The Bears have the number one overall pick, and you could put it on the bottom line right now. The Bears are expected to take Caleb Williams at number one. This is the possibility that they've been preparing for all along. They've been planning for it. They traded Justin Fields to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Caleb Williams is going to become the newest first-round pick in Chicago, a quarterback trying to make it in a way that some of the other quarterbacks there that they've used first-round draft picks on haven't been able to make it in the past. And Greeny, you know that city very well. There's a long line of quarterbacks that they've taken at that slot, but Caleb Williams will come in with huge expectations. They're making plans for him. Everything's underway. He's going to be the number one pick in this upcoming draft.
That's as firm as you're going to get from the network, from Shefty. Put it on the bottom line. Caleb Williams is going to be the number one draft
pick. So there was no but what if from Greeny?
Okay, good. You were watching too, weren't you?
I did not see it this morning, no.
Oh, I thought you said you were watching.
Yeah, I thought you'd see that. I didn't see that part of it.
I saw his text this morning, too. I thought he said the same thing.
He said I was just watching it.
No, not that part.
Oh.
There was something else that I was watching that you guys were talking about.
Oh.
What were you talking about? Hold on.
Yeah, I took it as I thought it was Schefter well that he was watching.
No,
and
I wasn't
was like, all right, the Get Up crew is finally coming to their senses that it's going to be Caleb Williams.
Well, thank God. I mean, like, listen. I mean, that's such a manufactured story that
the other
it's
thing
going
is
to be
too,
somebody else.
Getting back to it, even Bears fans knowing that Caleb Williams is the pick, are just as interested because the Bears are picking ninth.
Right. Yes.
Oh, yeah. So even knowing that Caleb Williams is the selection, we're going to be locked in and watching the draft.
Yeah, for quite some time now, nine has been the more fascinating selection with the Chicago Bears.
I think after Justin, right?
Yeah, once Justin...
Or was it after the pro day? When did it become...
Probably after Justin got traded.
Well, no, but I think I know what Sylvie's saying. Once they kind of started intimating, we started hearing about the multiple dinners with Caleb and the fact that they weren't attending other quarterbacks' pro days, right?
I think that was after Caleb. Or after Justin.
I think that's what Sylvie's saying, right?
Is that we knew that they were moving off of Justin. We weren't still 1,000% sure that it was Caleb. We were pretty sure. But then I think we got some more news that, yes, in fact, it is going to be Caleb Williams.
We were still uncertain because Greeny was throwing out the misdirection. He's like, hey, I don't know.
I think all along they were totally comfortable with the player. They had to get comfortable with the person. Yes. And that took longer and was, you know, from a scheduling standpoint, was further down the line. And remember, there was also the conversation about he hadn't provided his medicals and they hadn't had a chance to see him. And I mean, it was just a matter of time before that all was going to take place. And there's still people out there probably denying that the Bears are going to actually draft him first overall. There were people out there that told you all along that they weren't ever going to trade Justin. Those people disappeared into the ether, I believe. Or are they still out there?
They're out there.
They're lurking, yeah.
Did they change their Twitter handles?
They changed their pictures. They're all Caleb pictures
it's,
now.
It's now.
Are they now? Is it now? That's the way it should be.
At Caleb Season.
Yeah. Yes.
At SSZN.
Is that what it is now?
At Caleb Season.
Okay. Well, that's the way it should
be. It's no longer him, HIH1M. It's now Caleb Season. Yes.
But they've got their receipts, though, too. They've got those all saved. And they'll bring those out if Justin Fields.
Oh yeah. How many people truly want this to finally be the quarterback that we've all been looking for? Or some of them out there want him to fail so they can say I told you so.
I hope not. Are you a Bears fan then? What's the point?
Well, right? I mean, we've had that question about a ton of people.
That's how fandom has sort of shifted.
This is true.
Lately.
Where I agree with
people
that.
Are, especially
they're fans of being right about their certain team. Points.
Well,
versus
no, I was going to say there's fans of players more so than certain teams.
Well, give me a fourth round pick. I want Justin to ball out, and I want Caleb Williams to ball for my favorite team.
Boom! Yeah. There we go.
And they meet in the Super Bowl.
Perfect.
That'll be fun.
Perfect.
Bears Steelers Super Bowl. What do you think, Justin? Starting.
I'll take it.
Pittsburgh.
I'll take it.
Yeah, of course.
I don't care about them. I care about our team. That's all I want. It's going to be an exciting time. No guarantee, but look, you've put together an excellent infrastructure. You're going to draft a kid that has a lot of people excited that can do a lot of stuff. Now develop him. Now go out there and teach him and put him in positions to make big plays. And then my expectation is he's got to be a better quarterback than what we've seen here the last 3 years. And it's got to happen this year. I'm not asking him to be Patrick Mahomes, but I'm asking him to play at a level because of the group around him and because of the promise that he has, be a better quarterback than what we've seen in town the last 3 years. I don't think that's asking for a ton. I don't think that bar is exceptionally high.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm expecting, look, if he comes out and struggles, which I think that there will be moments, I don't expect it to be blue skies and sunshine like the weather here in Chicago tonight.
And rainbows.
But the body of work is... It better be damn good.
So what are you guys going to talk about?
I mean, obviously, we're on Austin Matthews' watch to see if he can score his 70th tonight.
Spell Austin.
You don't want him to stay on 69?
This is it's
a win-win.
There you go, right? It's Bruce Bochy's 69th birthday, so happy birthday
nice
to him.
To nice. Bruce Bochy.
That's a big head. That is a big head. On his 69th birthday, happy birthday to Bruce Bochy. Yeah. I don't know. I think we're probably going to talk about the Bears' draft plans. We'll preview the Cubs as they get set to square off against the Diamondbacks. After
what about
the
play-in game stuff?
Yeah, we'll do that, too.
Wilbon demands it.
We got to dive in, and Wilbon's edict, if you're
break
not...
Down the, break down how not, much you believe in the Chicago Cubs. Mellor.
Sure, we can do that. Yeah. And if you're, and according
you're the
to
baseball expert,
Wilbon's edict, if you're not on the WNBA bus, you're going to get run over by it.
Are you going to get run over?
I think we're going to roll up our sleeves and
break
down some Sky basketball. I noticed we didn't have them winning a series. We didn't even ask if they're going to. Is that like
it's a foregone conclusion?
Okay.
Well, they're coming off a really bad year, aren't they? Didn't they have a really bad season this past
didn't
season?
Didn't they still obviously sneak into the playoffs still did last they? Year? It's like the
thing
last
is,
seed.
What, there's 12 teams, so you can turn around quickly with 12 teams.
Couple players.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
Yeah.
It's basketball.
And it's basketball. All you need is like one or two players.
You land yourself a star, and all of a sudden, you don't know, you're in contention. So
just
it's a novel
draft
concept
Patrick
in
Williams
basketball.
At fourth overall. Well, they just don't do that.
So, yeah, lots to do. Lots to do for 90 minutes.
Do you guys have stuff to play? Or are you guys going uninterrupted till 8?
No, I think we'll probably take a break or two along the way.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll figure
all
it
right.
out.
So no White Sox game. The White Sox game's been postponed. We've got a doubleheader for you tomorrow. We went a full hour. The sun is shining in downtown Chicago right now.
It's been sunny all day.
It's so nice out right now.
Charlie's here. Jack's here.
This girl's walking by a short-sleeved shirt. No umbrella.
No umbrella's out right now.
No White Sox baseball
it's gonna
tonight.
Rain
the weather
now.
Is not good.
It's a beautiful day for a milkshake.
It's who I trust the most, though, on the South Side. Is the sod father. Roger Bossert is going to get the radar right. He's not going to botch it.
There you go.
He better. This is a milkshake selling opportunity he's missing out on right now.
Tyler Miller. Are we wrapping up the show again?
Yes.
Is that what we're doing?
Go to bathroom.
For the second
we're going to call you back in 3 minutes.
I'm not coming back this
time. So again, if you missed the A.J. Pierzynski conversation on why he and the White Sox have separated in the ambassadorship, you need to go to our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/@WaddleAndSylvie. Also, Mel Kiper on the mock draft and what the Bears should do. Great conversation there. That's on the YouTube as well. And Waddle and Wilbon got into it. That's also on our YouTube page.
You betcha.
A lot of yelling going on.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you to them, Tyler and Meller, for the second time. Thank you. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
The afternoon drive is easier with Waddle and Sylvie. Chill out. They're coming right back. ESPN Chicago.
Break. It's Black and Abdallah. Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
No White Sox game. I'm Jeff Meller along with Tyler Aki as we fill in for Black and Abdallah this evening because initially we thought we'd be bringing you White Sox baseball, but tonight's White Sox-Royals game has been postponed due to rain, and so that game...
Postponed due to beautiful weather. That's what it was postponed to.
No, it was postponed due to rain. I'm reading the press release right now, Tyler, but... The game will be made up as part of a straight doubleheader tomorrow starting at 1:10 Central, and the second game will begin approximately 30 to 45 minutes following the conclusion of the opener tomorrow. And so there you go, White Sox baseball, straight doubleheader for you tomorrow afternoon with the game being postponed this evening. So no chance for the White Sox to score a run tonight, but they'll try and do that tomorrow.
Will we see... another like significant showering of rain outside our studios by 8 o'clock.
I would hope so. I would hope you wouldn't postpone the game.
Because if not, that's tough.
Yeah,
especially now where, I mean, the games move so fast, you can get through 4 or 5 innings pretty quickly.
That is true. I will say though, as a fan in attendance, I mean, you just sat through this. You did this a couple weeks ago. You were at the Sunday Wrigley game.
And they tried. They tried because you could tell the way that they were kind of moving along.
Mm-hmm.
They paused the game. Instead of delaying it, they paused the game to just roll some dirt out there and patch up the wet spots. And who is it? Miguel Rojas? The third baseman for the...
Yeah, shortstop third base for the Dodgers.
Was complaining to umpires like, hey, I'm playing in the mud right now.
Yeah.
Like, I can't play under these conditions. And... they tried just to get to 4.5. They wanted to get to 4.5 and get out of there.
Yep.
And they just couldn't get to 4.5.
Yeah. So that's and then they were stuck there for.
And then they ended up playing all 9.
I was going to say a few hours at that point. I think as a fan, you'd much rather. It's tough when it's, you know, just a couple, you know, whether it's 30 minutes before opening pitch is scheduled. It is tough if you're already in the house getting ready to sit down. But at the same time, if the forecast looks unforgiving, and that's kind of what it does look like tonight. You hate being stuck at the park all night long waiting for these intermittent stoppings. So
yeah.
I get it. So White Sox Royals postponed tonight. They will have a straight doubleheader tomorrow. And the White Sox will try and put some offense together. That is problematic these days for that White Sox team, which unfortunately for Sox fans looks like it could be a very dire situation, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, they really are, I think, the worst team that I've seen in like my cognizant lifetime. And I didn't see some of those like late 90s, early 2000s Bulls teams that were really, really bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But in my cognizant lifetime, like I'm trying to think of the teams that have been the absolute worst. There were some really bad Cubs teams. There were some really bad Blackhawks teams. But this is trending that way. It really is. They look uncompetitive. And the bad thing about it is, like, and we've brought up the rule before that they can't get any better than 10th in the MLB draft next year. Not that, like, as long as you're picking in, like, the top 5-7, you usually have a chance at a pretty good player.
Yeah.
I think the MLB draft is a little more comparable to the NFL than it is maybe the NBA, where one player can come in and completely overhaul your franchise mm-hmm. overnight. But baseball is a building process.
Yes.
And we like remember when the Sox started to trend upwards and they started to trade away some prospects to bolster up the team and get it in a position where they could go out and compete in 2020 and 2021, and they wanted to compete in 2022, didn't end up getting to the playoffs that year, but they tried to put themselves, and they did not replenish the farm. I mean, there is it is pretty barren down there for what this team wants to do, and yeah. There's no light at the end of the tunnel right now.
When Rick Hahn had the sell-off of, you know, Chris Sale, you know, Jose Quintana, Adam Eaton, that really did, you know, it buoyed the farm system with all these top prospects. That Moncada, Kopech, mm-hmm. of course, they added Ronaldo Lopez from the Nats.
Giolito.
And those were some of those foundational yeah. pieces, of course, with the Cubs. The Quintana trade brought yeah. Eloy back and
Cease.
They signed Luis Robert. So they had themselves a nice young core that people were excited about. The problem is now the payoff wasn't there for White Sox fans, right? Like one, we'll call it two playoff appearances because, of course, the COVID season against the A's, even though it was disappointing. But ultimately, they win the division with Tony La Russa in his first year there, lose to the Astros in the playoffs. And then since then, everything has gone sideways. And the quote-unquote championship window was slammed shut on the White Sox. And now the bottom has completely fallen out, Tyler. You look at this lineup, and I'm sorry, it is not a major league representative lineup. And I get it. I know Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, and Yoan Moncada, your top three hitters, are not there due to injury. But the lack of depth is alarming, and guys like Robbie Grossman, Kevin Pillar, they should be 24th, 25th, 26th men on the roster.
Right.
Not guys who you're relying on to start every day and be at the top yeah. of your lineup.
Yeah, I mean, those are the guys you're thinking that they're the ones that have to come through, produce, deliver. You know, I was just thinking, like, you talked about those 2021 White Sox teams, specifically in 21 and 22. It almost reminded me of like the 2018 and 2019 Cubs, where it's like you kind of saw the writing on the wall, but the difference was they didn't have the rings on their finger
exactly.
to kind of have that mentality. It's almost like they got all fat and happy with everything because of what they had done in the past, and they had even less pedigree. At least the Cubs had the ring to show for it, a couple NLCS appearances on top of that as well. But this White Sox team never amounted to anything. And the way that we kind of saw, like, you look at Eloy and Robert and Moncada, maybe the biggest culprit of it all, like, all of these guys who it just went south real quick without any accomplishment to speak of it aside from a singular division title and just, what, one or two playoff wins if you count 2020 along the way? Not series wins, two individual games that have been won in the playoffs during that stretch, and then a colossal disappointment in 2022.
And you could make the argument that the biggest accomplishment for all three of those players are the long-term contracts that they secured,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, has not ended up in a good result for the White Sox. And now we're at a spot where it's a very real question. Will they threaten the you know, you hate to be at 2-14, 16 games into the season asking the question, but it's a legitimate question. AJ Pierzynski was on with Waddle and Sylvie earlier. He talked openly about how like it's bad. It's in terrible. They're in terrible shape, and I'm sorry. They're going to have to do something dramatic to convince me that they're not going to be threatening the worst all-time record in recent history, and that is held by the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, 43 and what was it not 119? It would make it 43 and 119 over. Like, you're right. And guess what? It's baseball. It's a long, drawn out sport. It's only going to get worse, right? Like, guys are going to continue to get injured. That's just how sports work, and especially baseball. Guys will have, like, Garrett Crochet, he hasn't stretched out a full season as a starter. Like, well, what's going to happen there? Like, and he's been great. He's been the story of the year, and I'm not here to kind of say, like, oh, like, Garrett Crochet, it's going to go bad, because he's looked phenomenal. But I think we can say this about, I think the same thing could have been said about Justin Steele last year. We saw him deal with his share of injuries as well. Things go wrong at certain times over the course of an 162-game season.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we don't see guys stick around for all 162 pretty much every single year. That's why, for me, like, yeah, the Sox, it's not looking good. At least you do have the bright spot of Garrett Crochet, but this thing is not going to get better for the foreseeable future, and it's the combination of the lack of prospects, the fact that you've got an owner that's not willing to spend a significant amount of money. And AJ said it, like, in this league, you got to spend to win. You have to.
Yeah.
And I get that the TV deals are all in flux right now, and I know there was some news yesterday about what the future of the White Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks are going to be TV-wise. I'll be interested to see how that shakes out, but it's a dire situation right now, and there is no light at the end of the tunnel right now.
It's extremely disappointing. As you mentioned, Garrett Crochet, he's been the lone real bright spot, and I guess Kopech has looked good.
But
is that a bright spot when he has to be moved to the bullpen to find
that? Think about it. You don't have a lot of salvageable assets. When you rebuild, it means parting with some tough pieces.
Yeah.
And you would think that those pieces would be guys like, at least if you told a White Sox fan, hey, they're going to be in a rebuild in 2024, if you told them back in 2021, they would say, all right, well, we'll have to be trading pieces like Cease, which they did. We'll have to trade Eloy. We'll have to trade Jose Abreu. We'll have to trade Yoan Moncada and Luis Robert. A lot of those guys either aren't on the team or have no value. Like, right now, your value lies within Luis Robert, and it's probably going to be Kopech, too. And Kopech, that's the guy who's going to be tasked with finishing games for you. If he's not finishing games, a lot of those wins that you may have in the eighth and ninth inning will turn to losses, and that column will really start to pile up.
And Luis Robert is going to be out for the extended period of time dealing with that hip flexor injury. They're not expecting to see him back before the All-Star break, so it is certainly going to be a while. Speaking of baseball injuries, Cubs manager Craig Counsell has an update on Ichiro Suzuki, who was placed on the injured. I'm sorry. Not Ichiro Suzuki, Seiya Suzuki. Thank you, Tyler. He's got an update on Seiya Suzuki, who was placed on the injured list. We'll tell you how long he's expected to miss coming up next.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'd like you to meet someone who's really special.
It's Black and Abdallah.
A real inspiration.
Follow us on the gram at Black and Abdallah and at ESPN _ Chicago.
Jeff Meller, Tyler Aki in for the guys as we have a postponed White Sox game, which will be made up tomorrow, part of a straight doubleheader. First pitch of the first game coming your way tomorrow at 1:10 right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago. All right, I mentioned as we were heading to break, we got an update from Cubs manager Craig Counsell about Cubs star outfielder Seiya Suzuki, who was placed on the injured list, and I think you and I were discussing this yesterday, Tyler, when it came down. This is not really a surprise, but he's dealing with a moderate strain of the oblique, and he's expected to miss around 4 weeks. That's according to Craig Counsell before today's game. And I will say, oblique muscles are tricky because even though you put a timeline out there, those are one of those injuries where you just need to rest. You can't do any baseball activities for a couple of weeks, and then after that time off, he'll be asked to go out there and start to do some light baseball activities. And at that time, you kind of see where you're at and reevaluate. It's one of those, you know, it's one of the worst, I think, you know, in terms of like, it's not a serious injury, not a season ender by any means, but you really have to be very cautious about it because you don't want to re-injure it as you ramp back up.
Well, that's the thing is, it's a very easy thing to re-injure when you start to have a history of it. And Suzuki has that history of it. He missed 6 weeks last year because of it. He missed the World Baseball Classic last year because of it. So that is concerning to me. I almost lump it not quite in the Aloy level of injuries, but like it's the soft tissue stuff where it will flare back up. And it's one of those things you see oblique injuries in two sports. You see it in baseball and you see it in golf. And it's that swinging motion and
the torque, yeah.
Right. Like that's why you see it pop up in those two sports. And that's why it's unique too, because you don't see it in football really. You don't see it in basketball. And that's why maybe it's tougher to come back from, because there isn't this basis of trying to ramp back up in every other sport. And I guess baseball, even to a degree, is different than golf, because golf, you don't need necessarily like explosiveness for the entirety of your round. Like you can get away with things in golf, and you can, I won't say even play through an oblique, but you won't probably have to miss as much time in golf as you would maybe in baseball because of an oblique injury.
And I don't know about you, but I certainly felt like this was going to be the year that Seiya Suzuki put it all together. Especially,
and he still could.
Yes. And, you know, again, he misses a month here, as Craig Counsell just said, gets back. It won't be the end of the world if he can just get back into the swing of things and then ultimately play the remainder of the season. It could still be a very, very good season for him. But I did feel like this was going to be his breakout year. And he started out well. He had a very strong spring training. And initially, the season began well. And now you've got him on the injured list, and they will probably have to continue to rely on the real breakthrough star so far this season, which has been Michael Busch, who yesterday he homered for the fifth straight game, tying a Cubs record. He'll go for the record tonight. He'll try and set it with a sixth straight home run against the Arizona Diamondbacks tonight. Tommy Henry, a left-hander, will be on the mound, although that didn't stop him last night. He was able to homer, and so we'll see. Have you been... I have to imagine you've been pleasantly surprised with what you've seen from Busch so far.
Well, I think I told you this, too, coming into the year. Like, he felt like he was my X factor for this team in terms of the heights that it could take. Because we've talked about it before with the Cubs. They don't have that bat in the lineup that you're like, all right, that's a guy who's going to get me 30, 35 bombs.
It was the closest guy
it was
who
close,
you could point to.
Bellinger a little bit, too. But if it's going to be Busch, because think about the way that the rest of the team's been playing, too. You lost your ace on opening day.
Yep.
In Justin Steele. And I guess the lucky thing with that is the fact that you have a pitcher injury, but it's a lower body injury, and it's not an elbow injury.
Exactly.
Or forearm injury. And then with your batting lineup right now, like Bellinger's struggled. I know he got the hit last night. Nico Horner struggled this year. Like, you've seen a lot of flaws in a lot of the Cubs lineup. In terms of hitting so far this season, or some slow starts, like even Morel's getting into a little bit of a slump right now as well. You've seen the slow starts with the bats and with certain significant pieces in your lineup, and you're still able to not just tread water, but really play good baseball. Now this is another challenge. What's going to happen when you pull the second hitter in your lineup out for the better portion of a month? And that's the best hitter in your lineup.
Yeah, and
played like the best hitter in your lineup, too.
And after the heroics last night, Nico Horner's he scores the game-tying run in the ninth inning off of Arizona's closer Kevin Ginkle on the wild pitch. Mm-hmm. Heads up running, scoring from second on the wild pitch, and then coming through with the go-ahead RBI. Nico's actually leading off tonight for the Cubs. Mm-hmm. He'll be leading off. Dansby Swanson playing short, hitting second. Cody Bellinger, third, playing center field at third base, hitting cleanup. Christopher Morel. Garrett Cooper will be doing the DH, hitting fifth. Michael Busch at first base, hitting sixth. Ian Happ has been dropped to seventh tonight in left field. Miguel Amaya doing the catching. And then rounding out the lineup will be Alexander Canario in right field for Seiya Suzuki. And then, of course, Kyle Hendricks will try and get right on the mound for the Cubs tonight.
That's interesting, moving Happ down in the lineup like that, especially when your leadoff hitter is a switch hitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And I wonder if it's a direct result of the heroics from Nico Horner last night, maybe giving him a little bit of a reward there and giving him an opportunity to maybe run a little bit more as well at the top of the lineup without Seiya in that two-hole, gives him a chance to run if he gets on base. So we'll see Cubs and Arizona later tonight. I'm Jeff Meller. He's Tyler Rocky. We're in for Black and Abdallah back in 2 short minutes talking Bears draft up in a little over a week. We'll do that in 2 minutes next.